Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast today. That number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada, as always. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We really would like for you to be a part of today's broadcast, and we're talking about a very important subject, and that's the new covenant. We look in the Bible and we see an old covenant. That was the covenant between Israel and God. We know it as the Mosaic covenant. The heart and soul of that is the Ten Commandments, and that was for the people of Israel. But when Jesus died on the cross, he ushered in a new covenant, and this new covenant is for you and me. That's where we live today. And so it's a very important topic. So many people try to mix the two. And when they do, they just make a mess out of Christianity. Indeed. They make a mess out of their experience and relationship with Christ. It becomes frustrating. They feel tired and restless and weary and burdened and all of those sort of things. So we need to realize we are new covenant believers. Now, in chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, we get a retelling of this new covenant based on the prophecy of Jeremiah some 500-600 years before. And we see in verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless," now he's talking about the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, and he said if that one had been faultless, so what is he saying? That there was something wrong with that first covenant. Well, how can anything be wrong with the Ten Commandments? Well, you're right. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, or there's nothing wrong with any of the laws that God gave to the people. But he gave it to them in a form of a contract, a covenant, a bilateral contract. So God said, if you obey all of these statutes and commands, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So it was bilateral. God had a part and the Israelites had a part. Well, they didn't keep their end of the bargain. So that was the reason there was fault with the old. It's certainly not the law. And he says that in verse 8, "For he finds fault with them." Some translations render it, "For he finds fault with the people." So when he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord." So if he hadn't have found fault with the people, a new covenant wouldn't have been necessary.
Not at all.
But he knew they weren't going to keep it. He knew they were going to fall just on commandment number one, about having no other gods before them. He knew they were going to fall and stumble, and that was a part of his plan to show them their real need for Christ as their Savior. And we Gentiles, we weren't a part of it, but we have our consciences. And through those, we understand right and wrong, and we condemn ourselves. So we understand our need for Christ. So there's something wrong with us. That's what God is saying. There was something wrong with you people, and it was sin and death. And he wants us to know it so that we can experience new life in this new covenant. So he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant." Well, when was that time? Well, it was when Jesus raised the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." And then he hung on the cross and he ratified this new covenant. And he says, "For this is the covenant I will make after those days. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach each one his own neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." And in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So this new covenant is better. Why? Because there's no part that rests on our shoulders. It's all Jesus. It's his sacrifice that ushered it in. It's his sacrifice that took away our sins. It's his resurrected life that carries us forward. So this new covenant is extremely important for us to understand. It really is the will of God. If you want to know what the will of God for your life is, it's this new covenant. What God wills for you is for you to experience life to the full within the parameters of this new covenant that Jesus ushered in some 2,000 years ago. Now, we want you to know about this so much that we are offering a free CD. If you're new to Basic Gospel, if you're just now hearing about this new covenant, you're just now kind of reading through Hebrews 8, and your curiosity is piqued and you want to know more about God's will for you, well, we have a CD and we want to give it to you, our compliments. So it's God's Will for You. That's the name of it. If that's something that you would like, please call this number right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, and just ask Michelle or just tell Michelle, I want the CD, God's Will for My Life, and she'll get all your information, and we'll get that to you as quickly as we can. If you would rather order it online, you can do that as well. Bob Davis, how would they get it online?
Simply go to basicgospel.net/free. Again, basicgospel.net/free. And we hope many, many of our listeners will take advantage of this, our new listeners. And, of course, this is distinctively different from We Are New Covenant that we're offering to our donors this month. So a little bit different there.
Yes, indeed. Again, it's God's Will for You. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is request it, and you can do it by calling 844-322-2742 or go to basicgospel.net/free. We hope we send out hundreds of these over the next couple of weeks. It is so vitally important that you understand that you're in this new covenant, that you understand God's will for you.
Indeed. Well, it's about 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, and we would love for you to be a part of this broadcast, and you can call and talk directly with us right now with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742, the same number Bob just gave a few moments ago, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we had this call.
My name is Joy, and I'm from California. And I like your program immensely. It's very valuable to me to listen to. I have a question. How do I get across to somebody that is not saved, but an upright citizen of their country? I'm Swedish, so, and I have relatives there. And they do not see themselves as sinners, and they have no need of God in their lives or Jesus. How do I get across to them that they are sinners and that they are on their way to hell? I'd like you to answer that question. Thank you very much.
Great question.
Yes, it is. And Joy, thank you so much for your kind words, and we're glad that you're tuning in each and every day. That means a lot. Thank you for allowing us into your life, and that's a real honor and privilege for us. You ask a great question, how to share with somebody who doesn't think they need to be saved. And sometimes those conversations can be very difficult. One way you could do it is just read the law and let those commandments do their work. And what's that work? They show us our need for Christ. They show us our sinfulness. So have you never had a covetous thought? If you haven't, then that's pretty good. Have you ever, stolen something? You know, have you ever had an idol or something in your life? So you can use that to say, here are God's standards. How do you match up? But then, so they say, okay, I agree. But there's really an underlying issue, and that's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ came that we might have life. And I found more success in talking to unbelievers about that sense of emptiness inside of them. You know, we're all trying to find meaning and purpose to life. We're all trying to find significance. We're all looking for an identity that's lasting, that's enduring. We're all looking for something that will make us happy. And we look to the world. We look to money and sex and drugs and power and status and fashion and all of these sort of things to become somebody and to feel better about ourselves. And so I've had great success just trying to communicate heart to heart. You know, what's really going on inside of you? Tell me some of the things that you're frustrated with. Tell me some of the things that you know, in your quiet times, worry about and are afraid of. Tell me some of those things. And as you hear what's really going on inside of them, then you will see connection points with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw that in my own daughter, my oldest daughter. We had an opportunity to talk, and I just said, "What's going on inside of you?" And boy, out came all of this stuff, and it just lined up almost like a genetic code that there were ways that the gospel could connect. Mm-hmm. And that made a huge difference for her. So I think that's the way you can approach it. Is to say, what's really going on inside of you? I'm interested in what's happening underneath the surface. And then you can tell some of the things that are happening underneath the surface of your life and really can identify. So I found that to be the most helpful way to interact with unbelievers and to show how the gospel of Jesus Christ is really relevant in their lives. Richard, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a huge desire on our part usually once we've been saved. We want everybody to be saved. We want to fix these problems. And being in relationship with someone, like you just described, is a very different thing than showing up and saying, well, you know you're lost, and I've got the solution for you. Even if I have the solution, it's the wrong approach. This is a God-inspired conversation. We have to be walking by grace through faith because it's not our job to convince anybody of anything. The Holy Spirit's already working on them. And the Holy Spirit, when you get into relationship, reveals these connection points. And, you know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would miss that connection point.
Yes.
But he's there. He's in me. He's working on that person. Just relax.
Yes.
No fear. No failure. There's no pressure on anyone here. It's just simply two people who know each other who are having a wonderful conversation, and you never know what God's going to do.
Yeah, so you share Jesus Christ in love and leave the results to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only him that can bring a person to himself and to give new life. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So do you believe God exists? If so, would you like to know him? And God has made that possible for you in the person of Christ Jesus. And he's already dealt with the sin issue. He's removed any barrier. You have free and total access just to respond to his grace and receive new life through faith in Jesus.
Well, Joy, we're grateful for your heart, for your friend, and hope this has been a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. Guys from Evansville, Indiana, Roger views us daily on Facebook, I guess daily. Hi, Roger, if you're viewing. His question is, please explain the difference between hell and the lake of fire.
Well, I don't know there's a difference. It's like a fire, as it talks about. God created for Satan and the demons, but that becomes a place of eternal torment. I guess is the word for those who refuse this offer of life. We have this question so often: does God send people to hell? And no, we found our way to that place through Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to forfeit life and believe the lie of Satan, and that plunged all of humanity into spiritual death. Now, God wants to reverse that, and that's why he sent Jesus, so that we could have life. And that life is available to all who will simply receive him. But he's the only one that has life. We can't find eternal life outside of Jesus. You know, there's many people that say, oh, that sounds so exclusive. Well, it is. Oh. And there's a very practical reason for it. There's not another religious philosophy or human philosophy that offers life beyond the grave. And a real knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. No other religious philosophy offers that. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So he has life, and he wants to give his life to you. So all you have to do is receive it. Well, what if you don't receive it? Well, then that's your choice.
Yeah.
I don't want that life. I want this earthly life. And what you're going to experience is what that earthly life really is, eternal death. And so there's a place reserved for those who refuse the life of Jesus Christ. Richard, do you have that passage?
Yeah, it's in Revelation 20, and it's at the Great White Throne Judgment. And what you realize is that Satan gets thrown into the lake of fire, and the false prophet and the beast and all of these things, and then the dead are judged, and the dead here aren't physically dead, they're spiritually dead. That's who John is talking about. And then finally it says that death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So Hades, and what some translations would call hell, is just this place of darkness. It's where lost souls go when they die. Satan is not in charge of that, right? We've talked about this before. He's not running around poking people with a pitchfork. So God has got a final solution in mind here, where even death itself and Hades itself are thrown into this lake of fire, and everything is destroyed at that point. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. It's going to be incredible, because we get a whole new heavens and a new earth out of it, mm-hmm. and Jesus is victorious. But there seems to be an end of hell, if you look just at this Revelation 20 passage. Other passages give you this idea of eternal separation from God, and so you have to balance them out and take the whole picture.
Kind of sort it out.
It's not a good idea to speculate exactly what it means, because we don't know what it means.
Yeah. So the idea is not so much a place. You know,
correct.
We're always talking about locations. You know, I'm going to go to heaven, or somebody's going to go to hell. It's about life or death.
Yes.
And so there's eternal life and there's eternal death. You receive eternal life through faith in Jesus. And what does that mean? You're going to be eternally with the one who is eternal, and that's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. So that's who we're going to be with. We're going to be with Jesus. And those who refuse that life, they're going to experience eternal death. That's the big deal.
That's the big deal.
Life or death, as God said to the people of Israel. I put before you life or death. Choose today life.
Yes.
And that's the big deal. Yeah. So that's what we really have to focus on, that it's a life or death issue.
Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us today. And Bob, we have something.
Well, we are. And we have this free gift. And we think this new covenant is about as important a subject as there is in the Bible. And it's about as important a subject as there is as far as your practical day-to-day life as a believer in Jesus. If you don't know you're in the new covenant, then you're going to try to live your Christian life through rules and regulations and rituals. And you're going to fall flat on your face. Well, that's not God's will for you. God's will for you is life, and life abundantly. Well, the only place to experience that is in this new covenant. So we want to send this to you. If you're a new listener to Basic Gospel, you're new to this ministry, this is fresh information to your ears, then pick up the phone right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, and request your free gift of God's will for you. Michelle will take all of that information, and we will get to this to you as quickly as we can. And once you listen to it, then we want to hear back from you. This is a vitally important subject, and I know this CD will be a real encouragement to you and in your Christian life. They can also go to our website, can't they?
Indeed. BasicGospel.net/free will take you right to the appropriate place to get your copy. If you're a new listener to Basic Gospel, it's God's will for you to call this number or go to online.
Yeah, basicgospel.net/free. So order your copy today. We do want to put this into your hands.
Indeed.
It's that important to us.
Indeed it is. And from Fort Worth, Marcus listens on the word here from the Dallas area. He says, I was watching a Christian TV program, and a panel of ministers was talking about a certain denomination that is allowing its pastor to consume alcohol in moderation. All of the panelists were shocked, and one of them said he not only condemns the decision, he also condemns the leader of the denomination who made the decision. He said, Ichabod, where do you stand on alcohol? And if he and the others believe alcohol consumption is a sin, what authority does he have to condemn someone?
Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that prohibits alcohol consumption. I mean, the drink back in the day was wine because water was not healthy for you. I mean, they didn't have all the ways to clean it and purify it and make it really drinkable. So wine was the drink of choice.
Yeah.
Jesus turned water into wine as his first miracle. When he raised the cup, that was wine that he raised. Many people will say in certain denominations that was just grape juice. It hadn't been fermented yet, but I don't think that's the case at all. It says don't be drunk with wine, rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to ever be controlled by anything. So the Bible gives freedom in situations like this, food and drink. But those decisions should be tempered or constrained by the very love of God that saved us. So we have to allow the love of God to control us. We have to allow the love of God to shape our thinking and our decisions as far as our relationships are concerned. So I think it's probably a pretty wise decision to, as far as sharing the gospel with somebody, to make a decision to say, hey, I'm not going to cause you to stumble.
Correct.
I'm not going to let alcohol be a stumbling block to you. I'm not going to let a certain food that I like that you think you shouldn't eat be a stumbling block to you. I'm going to let the love of God control me. And I think when we come back to that and live by this law of love, then all of these kind of smaller issues can be answered within that framework.
Without question. Friends, I want to remind you that we're only 75 days away from Israel 2019, your opportunity to visit the land where the prophets, the Lord Jesus himself, and the apostles walked. And you can get all the information when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, link at the very top of the page, Israel 2019. You know, the New Covenant clearly reveals Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and that's the message we need to spread far and wide. And it's why we're offering our donors 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, when you make your March gift to Basic Gospel. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And Canadian friends, please use basicgospel.net/Canada to make your donation. And when you do, be sure to request your 5 copies of We Are New Covenant. And let's get that message out far and wide. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime, day, night, weekend. It doesn't matter. Just again, that's 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Anyway is a great day, great way to get a question to us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.